And we're back, and you are listening to VillainCast, BJJ Antiheroes, with myself, Chris, the Villain Pains, and Naki, our Jefe, our Shed. And welcome to Reap the Week. But first, a quick thank you to our members at In Theory BJJ, Concept Driven Jiu-Jitsu, for fight commentary, technique and concept videos, private coaching, monthly webinars and Q&A sessions. Please visit www.patreon.com/InTheoryBJJ. Hey, Nak.
Hello, hello. Hello.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you? Good evening. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I am weirdly ever so slightly jet-lagged. I didn't realise that Georgia, like those 3 hours difference, would be enough to fuck me up. But it has. So,
how long is the flight to there? And
well, there's nothing direct to Tbilisi. It's via... you have to either go via, I think, Dusseldorf or Munich or Istanbul. So on the way there, I had a 3.5 hour flight to Istanbul, then a 7 hour layover, which, fuck that. Then it was another 3.5 hours from Istanbul. No, 3.5 to Istanbul, 2 hours from Istanbul, yeah.
No, not bad. Just a layover, did you a bit?
Yeah, the layover there did me over a little bit, but on the way home, I flew to Istanbul, I only had like an hour and a bit layover. It was quite a quick changeover, but then I didn't get back into Stansted, London, till about 11:30 last night. Yeah, I was like, it was tiring. But luckily, I managed to get into London pretty quickly. I managed to get a hostel and sleep there for about 5 hours before I got the train home this morning. Dude, so I usually use this hostel near Euston, and every time I go there, I'm usually put in the basement. It's like a 9-bed dormitory. It's like triple bunk beds, so you've got to climb up pretty high to like get into your bunk sometimes. And they usually put me on the top fucking bunk. And there's no windows in the basement. It's hot as hell. It's stuffy. I'm in the top bunk, so all the heat's up there, and it's shit. But it's a cheap and easy bed to jump into. But last night I get in, I'm like, I'm expecting the worst, but they give me my own room. 9-bed room. It's upstairs, the window's open. There's a breeze coming in, I'm on the bottom bunk, and I'm like, you know what? I need this. I'm gonna have a lovely little kip before I go catch my train. And then they put this lad in the room, bless him, he must have been in his 20s, Sri Lankan or something. Doesn't speak a word of English. And you know, there's a decorum when it comes to sleeping in a hostel that doesn't involve speaking on speakerphone to your family back home and having all the lights on. And I'm like, I'm so tired. It's 1:30 in the morning. I dreamt I killed him.
Should have told him, like, fuck you, turn your phone off, prick.
He looked at me like this, like doe-eyed, because I remember him being at the reception desk, and he was having to use Google Translate, like, you know, to anything to the girl behind the desk. I'm like, I haven't got it in me right now to figure out, you know, to converse that I may kill you. So eventually I fall asleep. I dreamt. I watched Baby Reindeer on the plane, like 6 hours of it. So my brain was kind of like ready for like, you know, mentally being a bit mentally slipped. I dreamt I killed him. And I was trying to explain to the police that it wasn't racially motivated. He's an idiot who wouldn't let me sleep. And I was trying to like convince them of that. Like, I'm not a racist. He just kept on talking on his phone. But yeah, I was like, look, I managed to get about 4.5 hours of broken sleep. So I'm feeling it a bit right now, so we'll see. We'll see how this podcast goes. Oh my god! But I'm glad to be back. It was, you know, nice time in Tbilisi. I highly recommend it if you ever get a chance to go. If it's still standing after those protests, I highly recommend anyone who can get out to Tbilisi. Like, is you know, it's out in the far stretches of Eastern Europe, and you know, it's beautiful country, beautiful city, like really stunning. But they need some jiu-jitsu out there. They haven't got a lot in there, so they need us to head out and spread the good word. Maybe you can get out there next time, Nick.
Yeah, I thought about it. Yeah, seems interesting.
Oh, it's very much very, very pretty country. Lots of feral dogs everywhere. Like, I was going back to the hotel some nights, and I was like walking back by like past packs of dogs, and I was like, oh no, I hope this is the I hope this is the good boy brigade, because
I'm gonna get jumped.
Yeah, I don't fancy getting eaten right now. All this rabies. They seem all right. They've all got tags in their ears. I mean, they've been neutered and vaccinated, so I'm sure they're friendly. They seem friendly. Jimmy's got a full bag today.
looking forward to it.
Oh, I think there's something that might set you off. That's.
I'm in a good mood. Let's see. I'm in a good mood. Let's see.
Okay. So, you know, last week we had questions about choking old women.
Oh, yes.
Same person's emailed us back.
Is it another two-parter?
It is another two-parter.
Which has nothing to do with each other.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. They're a bit more, maybe closer together this week, but still, like, you know, when you put it as a four piece, I think this puzzle's been created, and I think we're going to solve this puzzle. And he has listened to this. I'm like, yeah, I think we're going to solve this puzzle, and it may end up with someone being incarcerated. So the two parts of this question. Two questions. Let's see if they blend together. Safest technique to take down and restrain hold without causing injury, and not choking granny's knacky. That's in there. And you have 1 hour to teach someone self defense. What do you teach?
What was the first part again?
Safest technique to take down and restrain / hold someone without causing injury, and you have 1 hour to teach someone self defense. What do you teach?
That's linked. Of course it's linked. We've talked about this before, haven't we?
They're a little bit linked, yeah. Yeah, they seem... But when you put that in with choking old ladies from last week, it gets weird. But we can answer this one. So let's mix these two together. You have 1 hour to teach someone self-defense. And... you know, how do you take down? What's the safest takedown to restrain a hold someone without causing injury?
Well, that's easy. I've done that on the door so many times. What I usually go for is like a rear body lock, and I just nicely give him a little trip and put him on the arse, nice and easy, and everybody's good. And then if they're a bit rowdier, they either mount him or put a knee on belly.
Yeah. I don't have experience in this. All I have is experience of shutting down rowdy people at jiu-jitsu, which. You know, flailing white belts, they're a danger to themselves and you. And I think we said last week, just get behind their arms.
Yeah.
Get behind their arms and keep them
down.
And
it's so, like, it's so easy to get around people who aren't trained around the elbows. Like, it's weird. It's like you're Jedi, fuck them, they can't see you. You're like, I'm here and now I'm eight.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, same as general jiu-jitsu, is if you can sit behind someone, their arms and legs don't work necessarily backwards. So you don't pin them necessarily face down unless you can kind of like, you know, put a back hammer lock on or something. That's essentially what the police do, or like, you know, prison officers, etc. Or just like, yeah, bit on the on belly and sitting behind them. But if you can get behind the person, like, so arm drags and stuff like that, I guess, you just, or they're slipping the arms, just get behind them, get them in the way, then. A nice little safe body drop with a trip. Very simple. You know, especially if they like... So I remember watching... there was a series in the UK probably about 10 years ago called One Punch Kills or something. And it was about people who have punched people on like nights out and stuff, and they've fallen backwards, hit their head on curbs and whatever, and died. And these people have gone to prison for like manslaughter, murder, etc. And there was one guy, and they showed a CCTV, and he's like grappling a dude, like he's a rugby player, he's like grappling this dude relentlessly, and like, you know, shutting down this guy's attacking him, and he just gets angry, and then eventually hits him, and this guy dies from the hit. And that always kind of made me think about like self-defense and shit. Like, as long as you don't have them land on their back, because that's the part where you can like really, you know, there's that chance that they could like smack their head into the floor or something, and then that's when you go cause actual serious injury. Like, put them on their front, at least they're not going to smack their head into the floor. But I'd say if you're doing a 1 hour self-defense class, go to a fucking track and sprint.
Punch and run. Learn to punch and run. I think it was Masvidal who said it, like, you got to have a mean check hook and run or something like that. He calls. I can't remember the exact quote, but somebody asked him a similar question and he said, you better have a quick punch and run something along them lines. Like, yeah, that's not, he's not wrong there, is he, really?
Yeah, if you want to get a best self-defense, I think Jocko said it. It was like, or it might have been Ryan Hall. Like, best self-defense, like, if you can run. It's not worth getting hit. Especially, you know, like, so you can get that kind of lucky punch and you could get killed from that lucky punch as well. So yeah, if you best self-defense, fucking use your legs. Like, there's no shame in wanting to live. Like, fucking get on your legs. I'll happily do it. Like, I'll sprint the fuck away. Like, come beat my cardio. But if you can't run away, you're going to need to get back to your feet so you can run away, because that implies that you're being held, which means you need to know how to wrestle, essentially.
Yeah, well, that first hour would be wrestling, a lot of wrestling and how to keep your guard up.
Yeah. Exactly. If you get to your feet so you can fuck off. So yeah, best self-defense, an hour on the track and a bit of wrestling. other than that, it's avoidance and fast fucking sprinting. I think, like, you know, Joe Rogan said, like, you know, or something like that, you the more you learn about fighting, the more you realize you don't want to be in one.
Because,
you know, we don't necessarily look like dangerous people. I guess we really aren't. But, you know, jiu-jitsu person can fuck you up, and they don't look like people that can fuck you up. And so you don't know who out there can fuck you up, and they could look like someone who won't go fuck you up. But then it turns out they can fuck you up. But for American audiences, guns. that's what you need.
That's the answer to everything, anyway. I think if guns were allowed here, that'd be my answer as well. I'd be like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad we don't. I'm glad we...
I agree with you that we're not like that fanatically charged in that way to fucking that we want guns. But if it was a similar case here, like, I wouldn't be shy. I wouldn't shy away from having one. I'd have a fucking store for me.
Dude, out of all the people in the gym that I would imagine to have a closet full of weaponry, there's a short list. There's a very small podium of people. You are on that podium.
I know.
There's a couple of others. Don't get me wrong. But you are on that podium.
I know.
And the other ones are equally as scary.
is that why these people have special roles in the gym? Do we have titles?
Yes. Yeah. to keep you happy, to make sure I stay on your good sides. I don't want to be a news article one day. Anyway, before we get into that conversation, Nack, I'm pretty sure, fuck it, it's not even my podcast anymore, it's the Nacky Show. They're just sending questions for you now.
go on, what they're saying.
What's your personal favourite pinning/riding positions for cooking an opponent? Yeah, fuck it, you know what?
Her favourite, ooh, that's hard, because I like that... I like the hip locking with the claw. It's hard to describe, and like with the leg ride on top, because they're just facing away from you, and I know you're only going in one direction. If they want to turn in, it's hard. And they just, the more they turn in, they just pressure themselves more, and it's really good cooking position because you're just all over their diaphragm, and they can't move their legs. And for them to do anything, they have to explode a lot, which means they're just there's sugar in the gas tank for them.
Yeah. I'd say that, like putting put weight for the hips all the times. It doesn't matter what position they're in, as long as there's weight in their hips, it's going to cook them because there's shit in their gas tank.
Sugar in the morning, ding ding.
Yeah, you know what? Welcome back. You're now listening to Chef Cast, the BJJ cooking show with Naki the chef, our shed, and his assistant Chris the villain Payne's. Fucking,
it's got a nice ring to it. Us,
Chef Cast.
I need to get an Ashgard made or something, like when it says the cooking show or something to do with the chefing.
Dude, like the AI picture that Raoul used for Whoopass of you as a chef, like, or like a mixture. Like, I'm gonna have to post it now. We're gonna have to do this every week where we talk about these things, and I just have to go on my Instagram. When I did that AI picture of you, and I said like Naki, you know, rapping in the streets, and it put you in
Victoria. The Aladdin one. Oh my god, that was so funny.
It put you in like Victorian Germany. I was like, I asked for New York, but sure.
Yeah.
And it turned Patrick into a bag of trinkets. I'm like, what is happening?
That was so funny. That is like AI, man. It's like, what? What? How?
People are worried that it's going to take over the world. No, it ain't. Like, we're okay. We're all right. Just for a little bit longer. Yeah, so anything involving just cooking the hips, after that, be inventive. Even a good neon belly, you're cooking the hips, and that's a good ride. Cooking the legs, body locks, like riding someone around in turtle. Like, it's all anything to fuck up the hips.
You've got to be like water. You've got to be like water. You've got to float on top of them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, maybe this question's more for me.
Okay.
What should tall guys work on? 6'5" and above. The fuck? What should tall guys work on? The same.
6'5". You're in the wrong sport, do MMA.
Yeah, Dutch kickboxer right here. Okay, so, from a more holistic perspective, you know, we talked about it before, this idea of range and the pocket. And someone with longer arms can find shit earlier. Like
they
can reach through the pocket and grab the other person before they get grabbed themselves. Like, long-ass dudes are a pain in the ass in that way. So what you'll find is if you're a longer person, the benefits you'll have is you'll just find shit easier because you've got longer limbs to go grab someone. Which that is going to come naturally to you. So the thing you really have to work on more is that when you get hold of those things, especially like control positions or, pre-sub positions and major control positions, you're going to leave massive gaps. Like, and that's going to be a bigger problem, is learning how to close up those gaps. You're going to naturally lean in on your ability to reach and get those submissions earlier than shorter ass people, but those short ass people can then find the gaps on you to escape pretty quickly. And I hate fighting short people. I have all my years doing jiu-jitsu. Like, doesn't matter what rank you are and what rank I've been at the time, like, just fucking short people, man. Like, they need rounding up and sending somewhere.
So they could put on a few more inches.
No, just exterminate them. Like, we didn't need that. We don't need that in the gene pool. Like, it's taller society. Short people. Short people do my head in because they just get into those little gaps.
Well, for you, what is short? Shorter than me. Fuck off, I'm in that list.
Yeah, and it's, you know how hard it is for me to get fucking sign control method on you.
I thought you were about someone like 5 foot four or 5 foot three, like, you know what I mean?
All of them. Like, anyone who's short just finds gaps easier. Like, that's the problem with being taller, is you know, yeah, okay, you can reach stuff, but also in competitions, I used to fucking hate it. Like, you know, when I'd be like 80 odd kilos, 85 kilos, and I'd come across a bowling ball of a human being, and I'm all gangly and shit. It's like Stefan Struve in the heavyweight division. Like, looking at, you know, someone like Mark Hunt thinking, yeah, I'm about a foot taller than you, but you've got big ass arms on you. This is going to hurt. That's what I feel like. Like, you know, you, same as you, like, you know, you're getting those gaps I can't close down. Okay, I might be able to hunt things a bit more on you from a distance. And then when I go for, like, submissions, you're gone instantly because I can't, you know, by the time I've moved my gangly-ass limbs around, you've fucked off. And also because, like, you know, you're powerful for your weight, and I'm like, oh, this is unpleasant. This is taking me effort now.
Zuzitsu.
Yes, I'm trying my best, man. But it's like, that's why I think drilling and everything is a bit, like, nonsensical at times, is that you have to really deep dive into the concepts behind everything, because what works against one body type won't work against another body type, and it's very specific to your body type.
Yep.
So yeah, taller people, like, you're going to reach things, you're going to reach those top shelves earlier, but you need to learn to close up those gaps, otherwise you're going to have a rough time. It's going to frustrate you. On the flip side, hand fighting if you're short. Like, learn to, when you're in that pocket, make sure you control the damn pocket, because if you're just letting people climb through your pocket and get control of you, then you're going to have a hard time setting up those submissions. But when you get them, they're tight as shit. Like, they ain't coming out. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Hand fighting, it's like, if from a striking perspective as well, like, you've got to, as a shorter guy, usually has to find their way in. They have to stay on the inside and work their way in, whereas a taller person generally stays on the outside and just keeps popping that, using their range. Similar thing in grappling as well. You know, if the shorter guy has to have really good hand fighting to even get close to a taller person.
Really good pocket control. Absolutely. Yeah, it's no different. And again, those conversations need to happen in jiu-jitsu, but we don't. We do, on ChefCast.
Oh, yes.
If you're forced to take time out from physical activity full stop, how would you stay sharp?
Ooh, that's like fucking COVID times, that is.
Wouldn't know what you mean.
You just watch, you can still do mental preparation, and you can watch videos, you can think about jiu-jitsu, because that's still technically training, even you're not doing the physical part, but your videos, instructional, well, I'm not going to say instructional,
deeper diving into the concepts. I think, I mean, like, we've got Chris, who's one of our students, who snapped his collarbone off his body in a horrific break, and he was come to, like, class every night it was on to watch, and even, like, showing up to the morning open mats to watch, and he was just there focusing on the concepts and focusing on taking that information. He came back better.
Yeah. I said that to him. I goes, mate, you've upgraded somehow.
I know. And that's from him just, like, paying attention and going, right, cool. Okay. And that, again, change, you know, is why we sit in this middle place. Like, I understand the fucking concepts. You understand the concepts. It doesn't matter how you drill it. It's going to help you. Like, dead drill or eco drill or live drill or resistance drill or whatever. Like, just understand why the fuck you're doing it. And if you can keep deep diving into why the fuck you're doing it, it doesn't matter if you're training or not, you're going to be getting better. And he did that, and he came back, and he became back a beast. Considering he had, like, 4 or 5 months off, like, no training, he still came back way better. Yeah. Like, he'd been to class. Like, he'd been training that entire time. He understood. The what was happening. So yeah, if you can't train, keep coming.
Look, in COVID, how many people up and down the country, like, they couldn't train, but somehow, you know, with all that time off, they came back better.
Exactly. Weird that.
I wonder why.
Weird that. Ooh, what should people look out for when opening their own academy?
Ooh, I haven't got experience of this. Well, I have done, like, I could say it's not academy, but like, I've started classes, which in areas. To be fair, yeah, I had an incident. Well, I didn't have an incident, but I had a little running with another gym, which was literally, since they were in the same place, and they had a kids' class, but it was on a completely different days in the evenings, and mine was on the weekend. And I did message him just as a, you know, like, well, no, I didn't, sorry. I actually went ahead and did it because I've did the research myself. Like, these, they haven't got classes on this day, and then the weekend is free. So I started doing mine on the weekend, and then as soon as I advertised it, I got a message off him. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, mate, like, I didn't think I was stepping on your toes. Like, it's nowhere near your timetable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I guess I haven't necessarily done that myself. I opened one many years ago, a traditional club, but it's mostly been through, you know, other people who are now connected to us and, like, giving them the advice of, like, you know, things to look out for. And I think, you know, there's all the business route you have to go down, like, you know, which is personal to your local areas, but on a jiu-jitsu level, find a kickboxing gym. They don't have a problem paying bills. There's usually some mats lying around, and just rent a bit of mat space off them, which is normally pretty cheap for kickboxing gym, or like a local village hall. They've normally got mats lying around. You know, when it comes to starting the class up, I'm going to make this video literally imminently about how to mix safety, aggression, and violence. And if you can manage that correctly, you can have an effective class, and you don't have to worry about people hurting themselves. You just got to try and get that right messaging and the right environment out early. Like, it's not necessarily about the jiu-jitsu. It is about that environment. And if you can teach very basic wrestling, very basic takedowns and holddowns, but if you don't control the environment, people are going to hurt themselves. People are going to hurt each other. People are going to get injured. But if you can control the environment, it's pretty simple. Jiu-jitsu is pretty simple to teach sometimes. As long as you don't overload what you think you need to teach. I think I need to put those things together. But it's... environment. Create the strong environment. Everything else kind of finds its way through. There's enough information out there to do jiu-jitsu now. Start an academy. Care more about the people there than anything else.
And if you open one in a building where there's self-defense or like some defense lab or some other bullshit, challenge them first and then beat them up and then open the economy. Have they?
Yeah, man.
What's going on there? And is that space? Is there anything? Is it being rented or is it used for something else?
It's empty, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's gone. He is gone. I know. Keep it in mind. I like how you've gone silent just to ponder. There's a question here about hand fighting. Easiest way to clear the hands and gain the inside space, but I think we should do a video on that. I think that's probably easiest.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, we've like talked about it a lot. I think a video would be better now.
Yeah, yeah. There's another video as well, which I guess would make better. Another question that makes sense to this video of from Running Man, what is your progression to stand up and get to an offensive place? But again, I think that's a video that needs to be made. So, yep. Last question, how to stop playing nice? Damn it, wrong question.
How to stop playing nice? Yes. Do the right things, but do them with. The right word would be subtlety. Go back to the be water kind of thing. I'm talking about top at the moment because I'm guessing when people say being nice, they generally mean top, or unless they mean like they're snapping on submissions and shit, because that's not being nice. That's just being a cunt.
I think it's that difference between hurting someone and injuring someone.
Like yeah,
we hurt each other. Like, we don't have an issue of hurting each other, but then separating out there from that being injuring someone and the emotion of aggression and the act of violence. Like, I'm going to do something that's going to hurt you, but I'm going to do it emotionally like a psychopath, and I don't want to injure you.
Yeah, but it goes back to them, our question last week about some dangerous techniques. It's like, you know what is going to hurt your partner or another human being. Like, don't do that shit. Like, if you know it's going to hurt your partner. And then, like, for example, we've talked about the control sort of stuff as well, haven't we, for submissions where don't just put submissions on.
I think there control. Has to be that separation of the words hurt and injure. Like, don't injure your friends, but it's okay to hurt them. Like, you know, there's times where you've, like, you know, ridden a hole through my rib cage, and you're like laughing away, and you can see me suffering underneath.
I mean, that makes me sound like I'm evil.
No, that's the difference. It's like, that's hurting me, absolutely. But you're not injuring me. And I think it's that separation of, like, you know, how much a human body can withstand. Like, I had a, I remember that, you know, I mentioned that private, that woman who couldn't even hurt me. I was like, you can hurt me. It's okay. Like, we're consenting adults in this room. You can hurt me. Just don't injure me. That's the difference. Like, you can make me suffer. You can bruise me up a little bit, but, like, don't injure me. That, you know, that's part of the game. And there's, you know, it's finding that level of violence, and, you know, violence have been like the acts of hurting someone with, you know, and not going so far that you injure them. And then removing the aggression of, I'm not getting emotional in this. Oh, dude. Okay. I have a story for you.
Go on.
It involved a crazy person.
Do I know said crazy person?
You don't. It was a private I gave once.
Okay.
This person was, they were out at the private, female, wanted to get fit, slightly overweight, but they, I've known this person, they're slightly detached from reality at times, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, we'll just go some basic self-defense stuff. And they told me that they, you know, so was it fire? It was our stone gym. So running up the stairs almost killed them. And then we did a bit of basic sparring. And they warned me that they once saw red and put 4 people in hospital. Dude, like, I was like, you know what? Cool. In this room, this is a safe space. This is God's blind spot. He can't see what happens in this room. So if you want to see red and do your worst, it's okay. And so I put gloves on this person and said, cool, you know what? It's like one of those stress therapy sessions. See red. And they started growling.
Tell me you had a camera somewhere where you recorded this.
I didn't. And again, this is, you know, a female. They started growling. Like, and like going around the room trying to swing at me and stuff. And I was just like parrying, blocking, you know, tripping and stuff like that. And eventually they collapsed to the floor going, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And I had to say to them, like, there's a difference between anger and aggression and violence. Like, you're incapable of violence right now. All you have is aggression and no cardio.
And you're fat.
See that? I'm nicer about these things. But
I'm just blunt.
I know you are. Oh, I know. It's like We're Goldian Rogan on this, me and you. Yeah, they were just there, like, just hyperventilating on the floor. Just after they were growling at me and running around the room for 30 seconds, they then collapsed and just started going, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. I was like, I haven't done anything to you. You've done this to yourself. So yeah, like, you know, that whole idea, yeah, bro, I just see red. Like, okay, well, then you're in the wrong sport because it's a fucking sport for starters. We're not having a fight.
Yeah.
So how to stop playing nice is like, yeah, it's that... It's finding that limit that I'm not trying to injure you. Unless it's a competition, don't want to tap, then fuck yeah. We signed that agreement when we came on the mat. But I'm not trying to injure you. It's okay to hurt you. And then just like have a bit of empathy. Like if you look at someone and go, like, I'm gonna knee ride a hole through your like fucking eye socket. Like, yeah, okay, have a bit of empathy. Like, what if that was you? Because there's always a bigger fucking fish.
Exactly, man. A lot of people don't realize in this sport, like, you got to be humble, because today you're beating up someone like the way you are. Tomorrow, some fucker's going to do that to you and they're going to do it 10 times worse. And then you're going to be like, shit, why am I don't deserve getting beat up like this. You do, because you fucking did it to someone who couldn't defend.
I completely agree. And it does make sense to go, you know, if I see someone who's like, you know, say if I'm at a camp or something, and like, or just like traveling around at a different gym, and I see someone being a cunt. Second week of using that word. If I see someone like doing some dick ass moves, I'll probably do the same moves on them. But then it's like when you hit children, and then they hit other children. It's a cycle of violence. And
yeah, bullies, the lot of you.
Exactly, when you mistreat a child this way, then they think it's okay to mistreat someone else. So sometimes you just got to show them the way that it's not right. You can do these things without hurting each other. And even though like every part of my body wants, you know, if I see someone like grinding someone else's eye socket, I'm like, you know, you're gonna love it when I do it to you. If you think it's fun doing it to someone else, like, I'm gonna do it to you. But then you have to like reel yourself back in and go, no, it's not the way. Like, this is what perpetuates this cycle of violence, and we can break the circle.
it's an evil battle, though.
Yeah, there's that kind of, you know, angel and devil going on inside my body. It's like, you know what, cycle of violence, Chris. And the other heart's like, yeah, fucking skull ride him. Like,
can I smash?
Yeah, fucking grind that. Fucking
you can smash.
Yeah, just empathy. Empathy. Who knew? If you don't treat people how you'd like to be treated, you know, have a bit of a playful, you know, bit of hurting and stuff like that, but don't fucking injure them. Don't do grim shit unless you want it to happen to you. If you think, oh, I'm going to grind, you know, I'm going to crank this dude's jaw, cool. There's a bigger fish that's going to do it to you. And you're probably not going to enjoy it when your teeth are getting ground down to fucking dust.
Yep.
There has to be that level that you have to find, like, okay, you know, I wouldn't mind this. They look like they're not minding this. We're consenting right now. Yeah. It's like whenever someone, like, you know, stacks someone else on their neck horribly and like keeps them there, I'm like, dude, like, okay, yeah, I understand it's jiu-jitsu and you can do jiu-jitsu stuff, but again, like, don't fucking injure their spine. Unless, you know, you want to have someone else go through yours. That's how I choose my moves. Like, I care about people now. I'm pretty sure if you were to listen to this podcast over years, you just hear personal growth on our front. Like,
yeah, I reckon so.
From, like, you know, like, fuck everyone, everyone's going to get hurt. And now we're like, you know what? No. We're growing as people. I wonder what age, like, because normally when people get older, they come right, like, more right wing. I wonder at what point, like, you know, what year of this podcast, we end up going, yeah, fuck everyone. And like, fuck all the immigrants. All the LGBTQs, fuck them as well. And like, yeah, everyone gets a crank in the face. Like, wonder what year that comes in. When we get darker. I wonder if we can track that. Emotions.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Chris and Naki used to be really friendly in the early podcasts. Then they went really horrible, right wing, and hated everyone.
I blame the world. I blame humans.
Yeah, no. They're stamping out those short people. So that is Jimmy's mailbag for the week. And it's always like, you know, I always do this on a Wednesday morning. I always put the questions out there, like, you know, send them in. And it's amazing. Like, even just in those few short hours, you always get so many interesting questions in. Enough to fill up a podcast.
Means people like to listen to us.
I also thought, like, due to the 10-hour window or the 8-hour window that we're actually, you know, the stories up there for people to send their questions in, I do wonder if there's a part of the world that just doesn't get a chance to ever send them in. Like, maybe Australia's asleep when I put it up, and by the time, like, they wake up, we're recording the podcast, I'm ignoring them.
Sometimes you put it up on a Tuesday as well, don't you?
Yeah, sometimes, but it's normally Wednesday mornings, and then people send questions in. And it always pings me out throughout the day, and I love it. I love these little questions, because you get to see that insight into other people's minds. Like, we have our own understanding of what we want to talk about, and then everyone's like, yeah, how do you eat grandmas? Like, okay, cool. Perverted, but nice.
How do you safely choke them?
Exactly. Speaking of, no, that's a different thing for the other day. Speaking of choking old people, it just made me remember of one of our students who was in his 60s, and he got choked unconscious on his belt promotion day for a blue belt. Like, that's how you safely do it. We should have recorded that. That's a lesson right there in putting old people to sleep.
Yep.
Why is it recently, like, every time someone gets belt promoted and they then go roll, they get that kind of idea in their head, like, yeah, I'm invincible now, and then they get choked unconscious? Like, that's happening more and more.
Yeah, it happened recently as well, didn't it?
That's what I mean. It's getting a bit like, is this a thing? Like, do you get belt promoted and you think, yeah, I'm gonna go roll and then I'm not gonna tap anymore? Like, it's gone back. It's exactly what we said before. People are just weird when they get promoted. Right, this has been another episode of Week by Week. Thank you as always, sir. It's always so much fun when we do this.
You went off for a bit. I didn't hear for the last 10 seconds. What did you say?
I said that we'll this has been another fun episode of Chefcast Week. It's always fun. I always love going through Jimmy's mailbag and shooting the shit with you. Thank you to everyone for jumping in still and listening, and I'll see you tomorrow, Nak.
Yeah, see you tomorrow, Pa.
Have a good night, sir. Don't tell me you cut out the end.
You went off again?